They're here, somehow, by the grace of the Lord. And yes, indeed, a very busy, busy week, as always. Tomorrow night, Lindsey Williams is going to come on for not the whole program, but much of the program. Talk about Merrill Lynch, talk about all the heads that are rolling. Talk about the oil prices that are rolling up. The latest scare, the latest fear, the latest fright. Thursday night, the creation story. What does the Bible say? Two guests, each with different perspectives. And it makes all the difference in the world, you know, to know which is right and which is wrong. Friday night, D.V. Kidd, columnist, be back talking about, among other things, H.R. 1955, that we spent the program talking about last night. And we'll do it again tonight because Ted Pike is going to be with me in just a little bit after this first break. And he's going to discuss the tie-in now, the parallelisms between the homegrown terrorism bill in the Congress, wending its way through from the House to the Senate, and SB 777, outlawing biblical criticism of homosexuality in California public schools. Brought to you by the gay apparel man, Governor Schwarzenegger. That's right. He signed it. He supports it. SB 777. California mom, dad ban garners international scorn. Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. California's Christians face the alternative now of withdrawing their children to private education. It's about time. Or watching them progressively corrupted by an educational system that demonizes their religious bias against sodomy. So we're going to talk about all of this tonight, these new threats to our freedom, new threats to our free speech, new threats to the Constitution, brought to you by peoples like the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit. And indeed, these anti-bias, as they're called, educational programs worldwide have their support and their impetus from ADL groups. All right. Lots to talk about. Jump aboard. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, coming back to you. 3 minutes with Ted Pike, who is an expert in this area. We shall return with your calls later at 800-313-9443. Anyway, is Ted there? Ted Pike.
Yes, I am, Rick.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
Well, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. And it's good to have you aboard again. Been a few weeks, and we know what's been going on in the past with hate crimes legislation passing the houses of the Congress. And we now, of course, have the other bill, which we've talked about, H.R. 1955, the so-called, you know, homegrown terrorism bill. And now you have sent out an alert on the California bill, which Governor Schwarzenegger has signed. And, of course, that bill is equally odious. It is HB, or SB, I should say, 777. Maybe it should be 666.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us about this measure, and then we'll go from there.
Well, before I get into that, Rick, I really have an emergency alert
about
the ENDA bill. I got a call from Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmitt.
ENDA, yeah.
Yes, right. Gordon Klingenschmitt called me about an hour and a half ago, and he said that Matt Staver the lawyer activist Matt Staver on his website is claiming that he has an inside source who says that ENDA, this is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which will put tremendous restrictions on hiring and firing homosexuals in the workplaces and churches. Anyway, it's scheduled by the House leadership to be actually voted on day after tomorrow on Thursday. And according to Staver's source, they are going to replace another bill with ENDA at the last minute, giving very little time for Republican opposition or preparation for that legislation. So I just sent out an email alert 10 minutes ago alerting everyone to call their House member first thing tomorrow morning, before work, before breakfast, in fact. Get that call off to your House member protesting the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. I believe that's H.R. 2015.
Yes, that's right. Okay, good. We'll mention that again throughout the program, and everybody should be aware of that. I hope that our evangelical friends who did nothing at the end to fight the hate crimes legislation will be alerted to this maneuver, and they will be doing something a little bit more than they have done in the past on the hate crimes bill.
Well, you know, Rick, this is basically a repeat performance. We got the message just several days ago that the president has promised to veto ENDA. Now, of course, that's good news, but it also means that calls of protest will probably completely dry up unless we continue to make an effort to call. And the reasons we have to call are very, very powerful, and that is that if this legislation is approved by both houses of the United States Congress, it will attain a luster, a prestige as legislation passed by the Congress of the United States. And regardless of whether it's vetoed by the president, it'll be in a very powerful position to be passed, rubber-stamped by the Congress in only about 14 months. So it's very important that we not let George W. Do it, but we continue those calls going in there. And those calls are vital, giving backbone and fight to these Republicans to get out there on the floor of the House and put up a fight against ENDA. These Republicans, unless we give them that kind of heads up and that kind of notice and they are aware that the American people are going to hold them accountable, they will let these things slide through as they did in the Senate last month.
Yes, very true. All right, now tell us a little bit about the SB 777 initiative in California.
Yes, Senator Schwarzenegger put his signature on SB 777, which is basically a hate crimes bill for the public school system of California. It was introduced by the first openly lesbian, a member of the State House in Sacramento. Her name is Sheila Kuhl, a Democrat, basically what this says is that if any young person, any student, criticizes homosexuality on school property, they can be not only severely censured, expelled, they can also be subject to a lawsuit by the aggrieved homosexual community or homosexual students and so on. And so basically what this this law now does is that it makes it a hate crime, a speech crime, to reflect biblical-based values among the students of California public school system. And this, of course, is creating shockwaves among Christians in California because it means that if you leave your child in the public school system, the full educational propaganda of these homosexual activists in the Department of Education will soon be working on your child to make your child less homophobic and more receptive to the legitimacy of a quote-unquote alternative lifestyle.
Well, that sounds very nice, doesn't it, huh? It sounds like the legislation that was passed years ago in Massachusetts, and that was Governor William Weld, of course, another liberal Republican, who has pushed through these kinds of initiatives in the school systems, which is where the ADL really wants to lay the groundwork for their thought control with the young, the children, to influence them in a very anti-Christian way. And certainly they have been doing that for a long time. I guess that's their idea of fighting bigotry and anti-Semitism, is
yes,
to engage in discrimination against Christians and those who advocate a biblical position. So this is another double whammy, so to speak, for Christians and for those really who have any moral fiber left in them, that we are under a full-scale attack by these forces now.
Yes, we are. You know, Rick, I just sent out an email yesterday from truthtellers.org, and it's printed there on the home page, in which I detail how the Anti-Defamation League, especially since 1985, has been engaged in a very massive and concentrated propaganda re-education program of the American people, literally, in the schools, in social organizations, in corporations, in higher education, and so on, not to mention the FBI, Justice Department, and all police departments of America.
Mm-hmm.
And this program is basically called the World of Difference program.
Right.
It's a one-worlder type of a New Age program, which basically tells people that all forms of bias are bad. And what I point out in this article is that our founding fathers did not believe that all forms of bias are bad. What we were taught in the schoolrooms and in the churches and even government 200 years ago was that vice is bad, and it's the duty of society to bias our young people, especially against things like prostitution and graft and theft and all kinds of vices, including the historic unmentionable vice of homosexuality. And but what ADL has done in the last 23 years is it's had this mandate to come into the school system with this World of Difference program, and it has indoctrinated literally more than 10 million school children in America, and through about 375,000 teachers who have participated in World of Difference programs in their schools. These young people, over the last 23 years, have grown up out of the high schools and colleges where ADL indoctrinated them. They have become the policemen and the jurists and the politicians, the leaders of our society. And so having prepared the soil of America through all of this propaganda, we have grown up a new generation now that's saturated with this so-called respect for diversity. They are now in our state houses. They are now our school teachers and so on. So it's little surprise that when a lesbian activist like Sheila Kuhl introduces a law actually banning criticism of homosexuality, this reinforces propaganda for the last 20 years, and these people rubber stamp these laws. And I predict that if we do not speak out against this and against the originators of this legislation, ADL, these kinds of laws are going to be cropping up now in state houses all over America and also in governments of the world.
Yeah, I mean, when you read what you have posted and look at the outrage of this proposal, you're talking an incredible assault here. Young people, I mean, as early as age 3
yes.
to 5 years of age,
yes.
that is just absolutely mind-boggling. But it does point out that there's a sinister nature here, a sinister campaign to try to snatch the young as young as possible.
Yes.
And that is exactly what Satan wants, and his minions here on the earth are certainly doing that, I think, in every school system where they can get a foothold. And that's why taking the scriptures out and taking the Bible out was an absolute prerequisite to mobilizing this sort of replacement theology, if you will, of humanism and secularism and anti-Christianity. So now we're seeing what has filled the void, right?
That's right. And ADL has many, many dozens of pages at ADL.org outlining their various programs for not only the public education on the primary and secondary level, but also for campus World of Difference programs, for programs for corporations and social organizations, and so on. It is vast. It's a tremendously grand experiment in social engineering, which has gone taken place under our very noses for the last almost a quarter of a century, and yet the ADL remains uncriticized by the Christian America.
Well, that's fascinating talk. We're just setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Pike is with me again. Get on the line if you've got a question for him about these bills. Sheila Cole submitted a bill banning criticism of homosexuality in the public school systems that the governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger, would then certainly make himself a cheerleader, if you will, for this type of thing, and then, of course, promise to sign the bill. So the what we have here is indeed, as you point out, a very orchestrated campaign by those who deny that they have orchestrated a campaign. You know, you talk to these people, and I know I've had, you know, firsthand experience in my legislature in Rhode Island over the years when we encountered various groups who had the backing, of course, of the ADL, but they were homosexual groups, and they said that they had no intention of ever going beyond some basic and fundamental issues of human dignity and human rights. So they said, first thing is we've got to repeal the sodomy law. And that's what they did. They got rid of the sodomy law. And then, lo and behold, the next thing they got was an anti-discrimination ordinance in hiring for homosexuals, in a public accommodation for homosexuality and so forth. So I hate to say for homosexuals because, see, it has to do with the act and not the individuals. So what they're really doing is legitimizing a way of life rather than individual rights. Because individual rights are individual rights that everyone has regardless of their status. Civil rights are totally different. They're group rights and privileges extended by the state. So this is what they did. Then, after they got the first and initial steps to legalizing the entire lifestyle, if you will, by making it illegal to discriminate against them, now, of course, they're pushing homosexual marriages through the courts and the legislature. So they said they would never do any of this, and here they are doing exactly what they said they never wanted to do. So, I mean, they have no credibility, but that doesn't stop their gall. And they have no shame in what they have done because we know that they have no shame, period.
Yeah.
They're out to follow an agenda. They've denied they had an agenda. But now I don't think any reasonable person on either side of the issue can say honestly that there is no plan here. It's pretty evident
right.
that it's pretty well laid out for us now what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's basically two great steps in the sodomizing of America, if you will. First is to create a social taboo against criticism of homosexuality, of intolerance, or homophobia, or whatever. And that precedes the actual legislation by about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You get society agreeing socially that we won't say bad things about homosexuals, or we won't be narrow and bigoted, and we won't quote Bible verses from the pulpit, which are specifically critical of homosexuality and so on. You can get the Christians and the pulpits and the talk shows and society in general, especially in the educational system, teaching this kind of respect for diversity, then you basically have a consensus of the people, which is almost a legislative consensus. You know, we will agree, even though it's not written in stone, nevertheless, we will agree that these are the social mores which shall guide our society and our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes along, as you say, then comes the legislative initiative, which basically rubber stamps what people already have been conditioned to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to ADL.org, you'll read how that they have gone into corporations and even held very, very extensive sensitivity training seminars for small businesses and civic groups and so on, preparing the business sector in the United States for their workplace discrimination, anti-discrimination laws. See, they go before for 15 or 20 years ahead of time, giving sensitivity training seminars to business executives and leaders and so on, getting them ready for the idea that homosexuals have a have a very fitting place in their business, and they should not be subject to any kind of criticism or ostracism or anything like that. And then you come along with a bill like INDA, which codifies, makes it illegal to discriminate against homosexuality in hiring or firing, and it's no big deal. It's no big deal because these business leaders today, you see, were the school children mm-hmm. of 1985 mm-hmm. when they were prepared and indoctrinated by Eddie L. to do exactly what we're seeing unfolding at this hour.
Absolutely. Very good point. And, you know, we've gone from the point, as I pointed out, from criminalizing sodomy to the point where it is going to be a criminal offense to be anti-sodomy. In other words, we're going to the other extreme, and that is what is of necessity going to happen once you have lost your absolute moral compass. So you see, that's why these relativistic programs and humanist agendas promoted by ADL and the National Education Association and various other front groups, that's why they are so dangerous. And you see, it's the camel getting his nose into the tent. And when we were saying this years ago, you know, they said we were crazy and extremists and so forth. Well, now all of this has come to pass, and it's still happening to the nth degree. So who's right? We were. All right, we'll be back, Ted. Stay tuned. Any callers, 800-313-9443. Much more to come, and we'll talk about the homegrown terrorism bill as well.
Get back at them with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, I'm back now with Ted Pike, www.truthtellers.org. And yes, Ted, as we were saying, all of this now has, to me and to you, indicated a very orchestrated plan here to basically make Christianity an underground faith in America. And I believe that's exactly where it's headed, underground, if this continues. Then at the same time, we have the bill passed in the House of Representatives in Washington, H.R. 1955, which has to do with homegrown terrorism prevention. And you now have had a chance to look at that bill, I believe, now as well.
Yes,
haven't
I have.
And what are your thoughts, Ted?
Well, it's kind of amazing. This bill claims that a commission needs to be set up to study the problem mm-hmm. of homegrown terrorism. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very interesting term. You know, we've heard a lot about domestic terrorism, which presumably means people perhaps of Muslim background and whatever infiltrating the country for purposes of sabotage and so on. But now there's a new bogey out there. It's called the homegrown terrorist, who is not affiliated with a Muslim cause or whatever, but seems to be a product of right-wing extremist Christian values here in the United States. And this legislation would set up this commission to basically delve into the root causes of homegrown terrorism, which it says is now flourishing on the Internet here in America,
mm-hmm.
through streaming on the Internet. And it sounds like a veiled description of alternative talk radio to me.
Yes, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And you know, it's really interesting. This legislation gives not one example of an abuse by a homegrown terrorist. It mentions no names. It's very vague about who the homegrown terrorists are. So I called the FBI this morning, and I asked to talk to someone who's a specialist on domestic terrorism. They gave me their mm-hmm. domestic terrorist expert. And I said, Madam, we've just had a bill passed last week in the House of Representatives addressing this huge problem of homegrown terrorism here in the United States. And I said, can you give me a few examples of of homegrown terrorists. Who are these poor people? I'd like to get a handle on who they are, organizations, individuals, acts of violence, and so on, which might be precipitating such federal study and intervention. And she was kind of silent. She had no idea what I was talking about. Actually, after a while, she thought about it a little bit, and she said, "Well, there was the Oklahoma City bombing, you know. Maybe that's a homegrown terrorist." And then she said, "Well, there's eco-terrorists, those who burn down the housing developments and so on, preserve the wilderness environment, and try to stop abuse of animals for scientific purposes and things like that." But she couldn't think of any homegrown terrorists that the FBI was even aware of besides those two instances. And so she said to me, "Well, there must be a reason why the Congress passed this bill. And by the way, they passed it 404-6. She says, the representatives in the House of Representatives, they must know more about this than we do in the FBI. They must have inside information and briefings about these homegrown terrorists, which would have led them to vote so unanimously for
this bill.
Sure
they have.
So I called my representative in the House, Earl Blumenauer's office, and what he told me was, I asked him the same question.
Now, was it he directly you were speaking with?
Well, I was speaking to a legislative assistant, and he said, "Well, the reason that Representative Blumenauer voted for that legislation is," he says, "we have to be proactive about domestic terrorists and homegrown terrorists here in the United States." Well, I asked, "Well, who are, can you give me an example of a homegrown terrorist?" And he said, "Well, there were those who tried to sabotage Fort Dix, and the British also have had to be proactive in anticipating terrorist actions, such as those doctors who were involved in that bombing at the airport and so on several months ago in Glasgow, Scotland." Well, those are not homegrown terrorists. Both of those were Muslim organizations, as I understand it, Muslim physicians in Britain, and also Muslims in Fort Dix. These were domestic terrorists. These were fitting the profile of the object of Homeland Security, which is to discover foreign agents coming in domestically in the United States attempting to subvert and sabotage us. But these weren't even homegrown terrorists. And he also could not give me a single example of anyone who was a homegrown terrorist in the United States. But he felt that, this problem must exist out there, and we have to anticipate it and be proactive and make sure that it doesn't happen, even though he couldn't give me a single instance of it having happened.
Well, so now, how does all of this, in his view, tie in with the Internet?
Well, he didn't comment so much on the Internet. You see, the language of this legislation, 1955, is extremely vague. It's
right.
Very subjective.
Exactly.
And the language. Let me just read you a little bit of the language. In the
section 899A, I believe.
Yeah. It says those who promote extremist beliefs. These are the objects of this bill. Those who promote extremist belief systems for the purpose of facilitating ideologically based violence. Okay? Now, if you go to the ADL website, they have a big section called Extremism in America.
Yes.
And ADL is sitting up there pontificating on what extremism is. And, of course, extremism to the ADL means anyone who stands up for Christian conservative values, especially people like myself and you and so on, and I'm right there front and center with 11 pages on the ADL website as the epitome of this kind of extremist mentality, which has to be anticipated in America.
Well, that's good for you, Ted, as we've said before, but, you know, the fact is the ADL types are, if anything, a perfect example of their own caricature. They are the extremists, particularly in advocating a foreign policy which is exclusivist and is supremacist vis-a-vis the Israeli government. So anyone who opposes that philosophy now is an extremist. Anyone who is advocating for moderation, for existence, for example, in this area, is now considered to be an extremist. That's quite an anomaly, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Rick. ADL has really been going out on a limb with extreme criticisms of so-called homegrown anti-Semitism here in the United States, and in fact, Foxman has gone after even people like Ann Coulter, who's a kind of an icon of the religious right.
I mentioned that about 5 weeks ago.
Just a couple of days ago, the Jewish Telegraph Agency came out with an article on their website that even Foxman is now beginning to doubt whether perhaps he is really qualified to lead the ADL because of his extreme positions against Mearsheimer and Walt, and how he has fared so badly in his public debates with them and so on. And I was just reading an article by Dennis Prager, who is a Jewish talk show host. It was printed in Human Events, and he was taking on Foxman and ADL, saying that they were shouting wolf, wolf in such an extreme manner now that they were in danger of causing the whole term anti-Semitic to lose any punch or any meaning.
Mm-hmm. It's all about damage control, isn't it, huh? Yes,
indeed.
1-800-313-9443. This H.R. 1955, though, is indeed a very, very dangerous concept, because whenever you hear politicians and you hear government agencies start throwing around words like extremist, then you have to really sit back and say, hold on a minute now. What do they mean by extremist? Well, of course, the definitions, as you point out, and as D.V. Kidd has pointed out in her columns on News with Views, is a very vague definition. In fact, it's no specific definition at all. And D.V. has pointed out to me, and she'll be on Friday night, the fact is that these people in Congress now are really beginning to run scared, because there is a vast awakening on the part of large segments of America. Now, not all, of course, but I see it as a minority now turning into a very substantial group of minority. And when that number rises to the level of dissatisfaction that we have seen in recent months in the polls, now indicating, Ted, that Congress is held in even lower esteem than the White House, that tells me that the talk shows, the one means of communication that is not controlled by the ADL types, and that is the Internet, free talk, alternative talk, uncensored talk, that they are beginning to get very nervous about the impact that we're all making. And that's why I believe they have come up with, in a very sneaky, typically sneaky manner, this H.R. 1955 measure.
Yeah, well, it's vital, really, that we call our senators immediately against this Orwellian legislation. I'm astonished at how fast this bill was brought to a vote.
Absolutely.
In the House of Representatives.
Oh, when the fires were raging, you know, in California, that's where all of the media attention was.
Yeah.
And no one was talking about the fires going on in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, but we need to call our members of the Senate. Maybe I could just give that toll-free number.
Of course.
In fact, we need to do it sooner than later. And, and this is a good time to give another reminder to our people that ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, does seem to be coming up for a vote on Thursday. Matt Staver's organization is predicting it will be substituted there for another bill and very quickly be brought in, not giving the Republicans even time to prepare their case against it. So it's vital that we call the House of Representatives, and that the toll-free number is 1-877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to your House member, 1-877-851-6437. 1-800-851-6437. And the toll number, in case that's busy or not working, is 1-202-224-3121. Again, that's 1-202-224-3121. Protest the Employment Non-Discrimination Act going before the House of Representatives as early as probably Thursday morning. And also, while you're on the phone, let's call your senators from your district, your two senators, and all you have to do is call the toll-free number again there that I just gave to your members of the Senate and protest this legislation we're speaking about tonight.
Now, in addition to all of that, you yourself have just taken the time to prepare a new 32-minute film, a video, Betrayed, How the New Right Leadership Helped Pass the Hate Bill. And that is now also available on your website, right?
Yes, it is. I didn't feel I could let that pass. The dereliction of duty of the new right was just so egregious. I don't need to tell you how long I've worked and sweated to defeat this hate bill. In fact,
absolutely.
I was just commenting yesterday to my wife that I'd been working nonstop since last November to alert the country about the danger of the hate bill.
Yes.
We had a very powerful and vital movement going, but with the presidential promises of a veto, it seems like the bottom fell out of people feeling any compelling need that they should defeat the hate bill by protesting to the members of the Senate. And not only that, but the Republican contingent in the Senate did virtually nothing, in my opinion, to defeat the hate bill. This is all chronicled in this 30-minute video alert we have at truthtellers.org. And we have to make sure that doesn't happen again with INDA, because as soon as that presidential promise of a veto comes in, it seems like everybody thinks, well, George W. can do the job of saving free speech, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
We have to protest, continue, and make it a referendum of the people, because all this legislation, all these forms and species of hate bills will be coming back again very soon to haunt us, and we have to do our best to let future administrations, future whoever controls Congress, know that the people will not stand for a hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada's being established in the United States.
Right, exactly. Okay, that's excellent, because as you point out in the video and so forth, a lot of people have shirked their responsibility, and they've played the game of politics, unfortunately, rather than principle, and that is why bills like the hate bill wind up getting passed, because of the dereliction of duty of Christians, particularly, who say they are dividing the word of truth, and they are doing what they should be doing, when in fact they, for the most part, have they've joined the club of politicians. They're playing the political game. And you know, when you play the game, you know what happens. You lose.
Yeah.
It's like playing with fire, and you get burned. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been burned by the evangelicals recently in what they have done, or should I say have not done, when they were needed. That to me was an unforgivable act that they did, and they still have to be made to answer for that. Now, they may try to redeem themselves on this end of a bill and hopefully on others, but, you know, they still to realize that they were in a position to generate an incredible avalanche of mail and email as well as phone calls, and yet they sat it out when the time was critical.
Yeah,
and
it's unbelievable. I still can't believe what happened. As you know, you received emails from me every day during
that
final last week, and
sometimes
I was sending
twice a day.
Yeah, I was sending emails to all these organizations, and they have told me, their staff have told me, they do get my emails and they take them very seriously, and they know that basically I have been the veteran opponent of the hate bill going clear back to 1998 or so.
That's right.
And they respect me, and yet they were silent. They did not respond. It's
okay.
Very strange.
I think we have some callers. My producer, is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So when we come back, Ted, we'll take some calls for you. And we'll do that in just 3 minutes from now. Stay on the line, everyone. I'm Rick Adams. Ted Pike is my guest. Okay, I am back now, ladies and gentlemen. And Ted Pike is my guest. We've been talking about a whole bunch of things tonight. We've obviously been talking about the assembly bill that has passed and been signed by Governor Schwarzenegger in California, barring any opposition to homosexuality in the schools, barring Christianity, in essence, from exercising itself. We talked about ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, coming up for a quick vote any day now in the Congress. And we're also talking about the bill that has passed the House, will go to the Senate, H.R. 1955, the so-called, homegrown terrorism bill, as we have just, shortened the reference to it. But let's take a call, Ted, all right? 1-800-313-9443 is the number. We have Jamie in New York, I believe. Hello.
Good evening.
Yes.
Reverend Pike, it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
I just cannot believe that, I don't know, I can't believe that the American public is willing to go along with any sort of hate crime legislation.
Well, the polls, I was just looking at a Gallup poll, and about two-thirds of the American people now are in favor of hate crimes legislation. Now, that might seem like a large number, but the truth of the matter is that several years ago, it would probably be 95% of the American people in favor of hate crimes legislation. We have been very successful in galvanizing the new right and getting all the major new right organizations to take this as very seriously as a tremendous threat to freedom of speech and Christianity in America. And they have produced their own videos and done a lot of work. And as you're probably aware, we are very saddened by the collapse of that opposition in the last days before hate bill passage. But I believe it will revive, and we may be able to learn some lessons and straighten out our selves before God and before our constituents and go forward to even more opposition. But I think I am optimistic that if we can turn to God in real contrition and repentance and put Him as the head and leader of this movement once again, that He can show Himself mighty to deliver us from the hate bill as He has done in the past.
Well, but it seems that the forces that are the proponents of this hate bill are trying to do the very opposite of that. I mean, they're trying to distance us more and more from God. We're not allowed to even have these thoughts anymore. It's almost as though they're trying to outlaw it.
Oh, absolutely. That's not conjecture.
But I guess my point is, I can't imagine that anybody would think that it's reasonable to assume that the life of someone, for example, as a homosexual, is worth more than anyone else's life. I just, even on the basic level.
Yeah, well, this is all the work of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, basically to make use of the homosexuals as cannon fodder, if you will, as shock troops to basically batter down the walls of Christian society and civilization. The homosexuals are very well-funded, they're articulate, they're tremendously united, a lobbying force, and the ADL works with them, not because they have any great love for homosexuals, but because homosexuality is a very powerful tool to break down society. If homosexuality is encouraged in the schools and in the workplace and in education and society, then it's a cancer that will gnaw at the vitals of Christian civilization and bring it down. ADL knows how a very powerful homosexuality